Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf online, sunburymotors.com. New vehicles with great warranties. That would be Ford, Kia, Hyundai. Fabulous pre-owned inventory with the Sunbury Motors guarantee and a terrific service department that backs it all up for the life of the vehicle. All at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Time now for our play-by-play call of the day, a walk-off for the Pirates.
2-2. The stretch. The pitch. Drive to right field. G1 Bay has done it. G1 Bay walks it off with a home run. Clear the deck with a cannonball. And his first career walk-off home run. First career walk-off hit. What a moment.
Greg Brown with a call on the Pirates Network yesterday. The Astros came back today and did win 7-0 to take 2 out of 3 in the series. As a side note, because that game was the first one that started today. From The Athletic, always does outstanding work, Audrey Snyder. Audrey, always a pleasure. Thank you for joining us today.
You got it, Steve. No problem.
Let's get to the NIL part, because obviously James will be on the show tonight, and I am going to get into it a little bit with him about it. What was your takeaway in listening to what was a long, thoughtful answer on his part about the impact of name, image, and likeness moving forward?
You know, I think it was important to note that he was not happy with where Penn State started out with this, which has been a consistent theme. You know, you kind of go back to when this legislation went into effect, and he said several times Penn State was slow to react. And to me, the point that he really hammered home last night was Penn State's first year with NIL. I mean, the school's program was about training athletes to be entrepreneurs. And
yes,
obviously, you know, we all kind of know that NIL was put in place for one thing, and we've seen how it's been taken. And, you know, James Franklin's point has always been, like, everyone knew this was what it was going to come down to, but Penn State was slow to react. So, I mean, I think moving forward, and one of the things I wrote about today on The Athletic is this is a big opportunity this weekend to get in front of fans, to get fans on board. And I think the education piece of it has been something that, you know, a lot of people speaking with the various collectives, speaking with James Franklin, like, this is something that there has been a divide between Penn State and the fans and figuring out and understanding what a collective is and where their money goes. And, you know, I think part of it is, yes, it's new in many regards, so I think a lot of fans are struggling to understand it, but I also think there are a lot of people who simply are against NIL and are saying, you know what, we're not going to, maybe we give money for Nittany Lion Club and these other things, and we're not going to give any more. So I'm really curious to see what transpires this weekend. I know there are various events that the collectives are hosting. I know Lions Legacy Club, which is the football-specific collective, is doing a breakfast with James Franklin for only like 14 people. So that, is to me, is going to be pretty interesting. But yeah, I think you're going to see a lot of programming around the collective this weekend.
And not only that, it's not the only thing that's being hosted this weekend, because moving forward, the collectives are going to be important. Penn State's going to have at least 200 recruits on campus this weekend.
Yeah, I mean, I think this is something, too. Like, you have to be able to show recruits, hey, this is what we're doing, right? Now, this is obviously, you can't say, hey, this is what we're going to promise you X,
right,
Y, and Z, but you have,
that's
to
right,
be able to show them, hey, social media, look at this. Look at the fact that you've got 4 players driving around in Teslas. Look at the fact that you've got an autograph signing going on. These are all things that the collectives have to do a better job of branding and putting out there, so that way the recruits can see that. And I think there's been a big big learning piece to all of this, Steve. And I think some of that, of course, goes back to the NCAA tournament and, you know, not having a specific hoops collective. And now you're kind of seeing, okay, now there wants to be a hoops specific collective. So how do you go about doing that? And to me, the interesting thing is so many of these collectives have changed, they've rebranded, the people running them have changed in the last year, the websites have changed, the messaging. It has been pretty messy for a while, and it's like, okay, Penn State, like, everybody has to get it together right now. Like, your storefront is open this weekend, so figure it out.
Well, not only is the storefront going to be open this weekend, figure it out, but the next part is starting on Sunday and then running through the 30th, there was a change in the calendar on the transfer portal. And it opens up on Sunday and goes to the 30th. So how interesting is it going to be over the next 2 weeks? Because they'll go through the spring and individual meetings are going to take place and decisions are going to be made by players.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think you're going to see the usual roster attrition. I don't think you're going to see anything crazy happen at Penn State, but never say never, right? I think that's something that the transfer portal has probably taught everyone, is that you think you have it figured out, and there always seem to be some curveballs along the way. But, yeah, I think for Penn State, it's about identifying, and I'm sure they've already done this, but identifying what your needs are. And my guess is that defensive tackle will be one of those areas. We know that Trey Potts is verbally committed to come in. He had made that announcement last week. So you have that number three running back, which was critical. You've got Dante Cephas in line to get here. Obviously, that receiving core is in flux. You have to get him here. But to me, I'm curious what they target in this next wave, because Penn State's done a really nice job of finding players that could be instant impact guys. And, you know, we hear so much complaining from fans about the transfer portal and how it's changing the sport. Penn State has benefited more than they've lost from the portal. And I think that's, you know, that's important to remember. And while it's great that they've gotten guys who have benefited them, there's a whole process to that and how you identify these guys, tapping into previous relationships you might have with them when you recruited them out of high school. I mean, there is a whole process to it. But, yeah, get ready, Steve, because as soon as spring ball ends, it is on to the transfer portal.
Yeah, I mean, basketball is already up to 1,500 to 1,800 in the transfer portal. And that's part of it. Football is trending in the same direction. But Penn State's also been, as you pointed out, Audrey, selective in the transfer portal. And I think a part of that has been, you know, that's been their MO of being selective. I also think they've done a good job of vetting the recruits.
Yeah, I mean, we've heard so many times, and Manny Diaz had told us this ahead of the Rose Bowl last year. He said, you know, you have to remember, we're not playing fantasy football here. Like, it's not just about compiling talent. You have to get players who are a right fit for this program culturally. And also, hey, you're stepping into a meeting room where everyone else in there knows that you were brought here for a reason, and that reason might be to take their job. So there's just this interesting kind of personal dynamic to it that you have to take into account. And, you know, by all accounts, Penn State has done a tremendous job with getting players who are the right fit. I mean, we've heard it so many times already this offseason about Storm Duck comes in here from UNC, and everybody said, yeah, he hasn't really said much, kind of put his head down, gone to work. Terry Smith said as much last night after practice. So they're getting players who have fit in well, but also players who we've seen have been able to make an instant impact. And that's tough to do. I mean, you've got to tick a lot of the right boxes to do that.
Do you feel that part of that is that a player coming in, for example, on Penn State defensively, they'll play 22 to 27 guys on defense. Mm-hmm. I mean, do you think that has played a role in some people saying, hey, maybe Penn State, because guess what, if I go there, I will play?
Absolutely, I think so. I mean, if you're transferring, right, I think everybody has to remember these players are leaving their other school for a reason, right? And a lot of that is they want to play, and they want to play right away. And one of the things, I'll go back to the conversation with Terry Smith last night, he said, yeah, we're going to play a lot of cornerbacks, and we're going to continue to do that because that's also building your depth long-term. But, yeah, it makes it more appealing when you're saying to a transfer, hey, look at how many snaps this guy got last year. You know, if you're a receiver, you can say, hey, look at what Mitch Kinsley was able to do. Look at what Arnold Ebikadi was able to do. I mean, so on and so forth. Like, you've got a lot of examples now where you can point to guys that have been really successful here via the transfer portal. So, yeah, playing a lot of guys, it matters. I think also it helps, too, with your high school prospects because it's showing them, hey, in this day and age, you're not going to be, most likely, you're not going to be here for 4 or 5 years, right? So you're coming in, you want to play right away, and you want to be able to see those snap counts. You want to be able to see that rotation and how many guys have played. And we saw that last year. I mean, you got a highly touted recruiting class in here, and Penn State was not shy about playing those guys because they know, you know, moving forward, the majority of your guys are going to probably be here for 3 years if you're lucky. And I say three because who the heck knows with the transfer portal, you know? Like, you've got to keep your current players satisfied, and that's also where NIL factors into this too.
Quarterback is an obvious one, so I'll leave that aside. Besides quarterback, what will interest you in watching Saturday's scrimmage?
You know, the receiving core, to me, that's like the big question mark. I've heard a lot of good things about Keandre Lambert-Smith this spring. A bunch of players I've asked, you know, hey, has someone made a play that's impressed you? What play do you remember most from spring practice? And a lot of guys pointed to a one-handed catch that Lambert-Smith made.
Yes.
So that's kind of been the main one. So by all accounts, it seems like he's had a really nice spring. But again, they need him to be that guy. And if he isn't that guy, then as soon as Dante Cephas gets here, that door's open. But they need that number three receiver to kind of be solidified. And that's something we're going to see all throughout the summer. Like, I don't think we're going to walk away Saturday and say, oh, yeah, that's solved, that's fixed. Also, Steve, the special teams, I think that's maybe something that not enough people are talking and writing about. And, like, I get it. It's not the most, you know, not the sexiest thing out there. It's not the biggest attraction, but they have a lot of turnover on special teams, and they've got to get that figured out between kickers, punters, your punt returners. You know, you look at a guy like Jonathan Sutherland, your special teams ace. Like, they've got a lot of transitions there, so I'm sure we're going to see probably a heavy dose of special teams on Saturday.
Yeah, return guys. The whole operation, because, you know, you not only need to have kickers, but you also need to have holders, because the holders are going to change this year. There's a lot that goes into it. On defense, anything you want to look at? Is it the defensive tackle spot? Is it ends? What is it?
Yeah, I think they are super loaded at defensive end. To me, those guys are going to be a lot of fun to watch this fall, because I do think this is probably the best group of defensive ends, top to bottom, that James Franklin has had in his time here. So I'm sure we'll see those guys a little bit on Saturday. But, yeah, defensive tackle, you know, they're going to need more from Zane Durant, and he's a guy who I think the ceiling is super, super high, and we saw that last year when he was kind of the darling of spring ball and burned his red shirt. But, yeah, that to me is an area that I want to see more of. I want to see it on Saturday. And then I think, too, you know, they have so many good cornerbacks. So getting a look a little bit farther down the depth chart, because so far this spring, it's been Kalen King, it's been Johnny Dixon. Those are the two that Terry Smith that have stood out above the rest, right? And then in that next group, you have guys like Cam Miller. You have Storm Duck in there, so Daquan Hardy. So I kind of want to see that next wave, some of those younger guys at corner. Because to me, Steve, like, isn't that what this is always about, right? Like, seeing what this roster maybe looks like, not just a year from now, but 2 or 3 years from now.
What do you think of how interested are you to watch the freshman linebackers?
You know what? I'm still trying to wrap my head around how Tony Rojas gained 29 pounds since he got here. Like, to me, that is just, you know, Steve, there aren't many times where I'm at a loss for words. And when James Franklin said that last week, I was like, wait, what? 29 pounds? And I mean, everyone said he's carrying it really well. He looks like a massive human being with a ton of athleticism. So, yeah, definitely want to look at them. And Tamir Robinson is somebody, too, that I'm curious long-term if he's able to stick at linebacker or if maybe he eventually outgrows the position. But, yeah, those guys should definitely be worthwhile to watch on Saturday.
Oh, I could gain 29 pounds, but I can guarantee you I wouldn't be quicker.
Would not be good weight.
It would not be good weight, not on me. Audrey, always a pleasure. Thanks so much. Appreciate it very much. Look forward to seeing you Saturday.
No problem, Steve. See you then.
Audrey Snyder from The Athletic. We'll come back with more in a moment. Great to have you with us today as we continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by our good friends at Sunbury Motors.
When car repairs get difficult.
Well, I just don't know.
Me neither.
We get good. Sunbury Motors. More than quality new and used cars, Sunbury Motors specializes in complicated auto repair diagnosis. They can handle intricate repairs and even complete auto body with service open Monday through Friday, 7 till 4. And Sunbury Motors has made simple repairs easy. Maintaining your vehicle is necessary. Finding the time to do it is difficult. Welcome to Sunbury Motors Quick Lane. Open 7 till 4, Monday through Friday. Just walk in or call ahead. Relax in their remodeled waiting room with Wi-Fi, beverages, and snacks. Will Sunbury Motors factory trained techs take care of your oil change, tire alignments, brakes, and inspections. Quick Lane, 6:30 to 6, Monday through Friday, Saturday, 6:30 till 2. Sunbury Motors, Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. We take the out of auto repair.
You feel like NIL, you guys are in a good spot football-wise with it, or what? Because you just alluded to other things that you'll need.
Yeah, we still got a ton of work to do. We started out the first couple years where we said we were going to teach student athletes how to be entrepreneurs. That was our NIL model. So we were 2 years behind everybody else. I think over the last year, we've made significant progress, but if you give somebody a 2 year start in a basically a 3 year model, you know, I think it's pretty obvious. But what I've been doing is instead of talking to you guys about it, we've been working to try to solve it, you know, as much as we possibly can by going out and educating the fan base and the donors about what we're truly competing against. I think I got a pretty good pulse and understanding of what's happening, talking to ADs, talking to other coaches, talking to people. One of the most valuable things is the people we hire from outside. So you know exactly what they're doing and what you're competing against.
Exactly. It's a big, big part of it. I've said so many times, but it's worth repeating, that when you look at name, image, and likeness, you've got a couple things you need to look at. And one is, you either get involved with it, and you do everything you can to make sure you're ready for it, and handle it, or you lose. It depends on what you want. Do you want to win? All right? And you are not asking the public to win by cheating. You're asking the public to win with what the current rules state you can do. That's what you're doing. You are telling the public, under the rules that we have now, right? You can do this. Just like over the years, donations to the Nittany Lion Club, over the years, endowments, right? All these things you could do. Now you can do this. And it's interesting where they'll say, well, the Penn State fan base, look, there are fan bases all over the country that aren't comfortable with this. It's not just Penn State. But, I mean, that's what this comes down to. You have a choice. Right? You know, and for people who have the means to donate, obviously, you have a choice. Right? This is a way to give your team a chance to win. Okay, baseball scores today. Mariners, Cubs. Mariners lead at 4-1 top of the eighth at Wrigley. Cardinals lead the Rockies 3-1 into 5 at Coors. D-backs lead the Brewers 1-0 bottom of the third. Phillies and Marlins scoreless top of the second. Nationals, Angels scoreless top of the second. Astros beat the Pirates 7-0. Twins beat the White Sox 3-1. Yankees beat the Guardians 4-3. The Mets beat the Padres 5-2. That's all the afternoon action there. NBA tonight, Bulls-Raptors. Thunder-Pelicans. Zion Williamson will not play tonight, even though he says he's completely healthy. But he says he won't play until, quote, Zion feels like Zion. What?
Get the lingerie on the deck. Call the janitor.
He is feeling fine physically and will return to the court when I feel like Zion. The hell is he talking about? One of the toughest things for any athletic trainer and a doctor is to look at an athlete who has extremely unimpressive x-rays and be told by the athlete, I can't go. Okay, we've gone through everything. We can't find anything. Okay. Okay. Williamson, from my perspective, I just want to play basketball. I want to hoop. I want to play the game I love. But I'm not going to play tonight.
Okay. That's great.
He played in 29 games this season. 29 games.
Oh, I thought that was for his whole career.
29 games. 29 games. And you know what? What's interesting? Nobody wants to call him out. Can't do that. Can't do that. Can't do what? It's a lot of money to get paid to do a lot of nothing.
This is almost becoming like Ben Simmons 2.0, seriously. But a much, much more talented player, which is a shame.
I don't know. Oh, well. The way it is. I'm not a Pelicans fan, so it doesn't matter to me.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Almost Wharf, online at sunburymotors.com. Ford, Kia, Hyundai, the best in new inventory, and by the way, all with great warranties. Great pre-owned inventory with the Sunbury Motors Guarantee. Fabulous service department that backs it all up for the life of the vehicle. It's all at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Elmo's Wharf. Online at sunburymotors.com. Time now to go to the complaint department and find out how everything's going.
Well, everything's better now that the Yankees came back and won.
It's April 12th. Wouldn't get too up and down about it. Again, I actually went back and looked at the play. I mean, like, he didn't catch it. it's not even close. I mean, it doesn't matter. It didn't figure in the outcome of the game, but I'm sorry. The whole point is to get it right. They got it right.
And you're right. I don't have a problem with getting the call right, and it was, and it is the right call. It was not a catch, but I just have a problem with the way it was done.
Boy, does Lisa have a lot of work to do to undo your damage with the kids.
Get the lingerie on the deck. Call the janitor.
A woman's a saint. Oh.
I don't disagree.
Luke, Mark, let Daddy finish and then we'll talk later. Let Mommy undo the damage. As long as it benefits the Yankees, kids. All right. Yeah, he did not catch it, so pretty simple. And to be honest with you, it's like I give the camera guys a lot of credit. That was actually a good replay, to their credit. I mean, they got a good angle on it, the whole deal. All right. So let's. No other complaints? I mean, you know, normally something fires you up. Yeah. Ready to.
Well, I was only hearing bits and pieces of what was going on with Zion. I was like, I just thought that he just wasn't healthy. But now that I understand what is exactly going on, then I'm right there with you. I have no idea what he's doing. And like I said, this is now turning into Ben Simmons 2.0. And if I'm a Pelicans fan, I'm definitely a little irked. I can definitely say that.
I mean, it's... I know it's a back injury. I got that part. I mean, I have it. So obviously we're talking about one of the trickiest parts of the human body. So that part I've got. All right? Man. I see stuff like this. No offense, but how many people out there would be aching to be in the position he's in, making the money that he's making at this particular point? And if, I don't know. I don't know. It's, I mean, you're playing a playoff game. And I don't know. Now, obviously he hasn't played. So, I mean, you are talking about something I do. That the other part too, he hasn't played. How much could he actually play in the game tonight? I don't know. But I don't know. I just don't. It seems like we're spending a lot of time talking about guys that for whatever reason want to collect the money and they don't want to play. But they keep demanding that the fans buy tickets to see this. All right. I mean, they keep begging fans to come out to see it. NBA just put out a big deal about setting an attendance record. Well, you're going to keep setting attendance records when guys keep sitting out? I don't know. The back is the trickiest part of the body. No question. And he also hasn't played in such a long time, so it's probably not worth it in all seriousness. But if you're a Pelicans fan, like I'm going to start buying like individual tickets to games. I'm not going to buy season tickets. And I got to wonder how many people are going to stop buying season tickets because the teams that they're rooting for, I'm trying to figure out what they care about. Do they care about me as a fan? Do they care about winning? What do they care about? Now, take an example. Let's talk about a guy who cares about winning and cares about playing a lot, and that's Joel Embiid. So let's remember Joel Embiid sat out for 2 years. And then when he was ready to go, because he had various setbacks, and he has been a phenomenal player. So, I mean, I want to at least bring out Joel Embiid. I mean, he was out for 2 years for various reasons, and now look at him. I think he is to the doorstep of being this season's MVP. And he's one of the top, let's be conservative here, Embiid's one of the top 10 to 15 players in the league, right? And I'm always conservative about, like, because you can make a lot of different, you know, what makes Tatum special, what makes, you know, Jokic special, what makes Giannis special. You know, there's a group of guys. He's in that top 10 to 15. And in this particular year, he's the MVP. So he sat out for 2 years. Because he had various reasons. But boy, has it ever paid off. He's been great. This guy, I can't get a handle on. I can't get a handle on him. Simmons can't get a handle on him. I don't get it. And I don't think fans get it. If you're a Sixers fan, you buy season tickets. Because guess what? My star is going to be out there almost every single game. And if he misses a game, I get it. If I'm a New Orleans fan, why do I bother buying season tickets? The guy is allegedly the star of my team, like, played 29 games this year. Then it came playoff time. He's like, nah, I don't think I can make it. Okay, great. He didn't miss any checks. Ben Simmons, same thing. We're all, I mean, everybody's supposed to sit back and go, well, you know, I understand that part. I understand the mental health part of it and so forth. But you know what? You're allowed to have questions, too. You can't just be shut down by it. You're allowed to have questions like, I don't get, why am I paying for this then? You are allowed as a fan to say that. Why am I then paying for this? Well, he's really fighting through something. Okay, well, it's fine. That doesn't mean I have to pay for it. I'm paying to watch people play. Right? You know Joel Embiid's going to play. You know Tatum's going to play. You know Jokic is going to play. I mean, but you don't know if Durant's going to play. Okay. And it's, I mean, this league has a problem with that. You do not have that problem in other sports. Right? You know darn well Aaron Judge, unless he is hurt, is going to play, right? You know that. You know that unless he's hurt, Sidney Crosby is going to play. Now, they're probably not going to make the playoffs after last night's performance. Yikes. But he's going to play. Unless he's hurt, I know Saquon Barkley's playing. I know Patrick Mahomes is playing. Unless he's hurt. The NBA is the one league that, for whatever reason, we don't know. When a guy, we don't know. I need an off night. And then Steve Kerr, well, you know, it's part of the business. No, part of the business is the people who bought the tickets expect you to play. Okay, you're not playing 300 games out of 365. You're playing 82 of them. Right? I know it's something we've talked about before, so it's you know, I know we're beating a dead horse here. Oh well. Tough one today, Minnesota. Kyle Farmer, the shortstop for the Twins, was hit in the face by a fastball from Lucas Giolito in the fourth inning. And I had jaw injuries, a 92-mile-per-hour fastball that got him in the face today. Yeah. Ooh, it's hard.
You also had one of the umpires in the Yankee-Guardian game get nailed in the side of the face with a relay throw during the game.
Jeez. How about that? Phillies and Marlins, by the way, scoreless top of the fourth. So, let's see. It's done something. Yeah, Trey Turner, 2-for-2, hitting .340. In fact, Bryson Stott has the other hit. They have three hits in the game. Zach Wheeler, one hit, given up through three innings. He struck out four, has not walked a batter. So, and the Phillies right now are, what, 4-7 on the season, 3-2 at home. But at least the team in their division that it's leading in has lost games this year. There you go. Very nice. Go, Rays, go.
No, senor! No, senor! No, senor!
16,000 a game. Wow.
One of the most fraudulent fan bases in professional sports.
Well, you know what, though? I'll be honest with you. Where the ballpark is does not help, Matt. It just doesn't help. I mean, I was down there. But the last time I was down there was what, for the Outback Bowl, a little more than a year ago.
Yeah, I get it.
And I stayed right on the water where Tampa was on my left. I was on the Tampa side, Tampa in St. Peter. And guess what? St. Petersburg was still a haul. You had to go over the bridge. One of the bridges was out, by the way. Evidently, a barge hit it, and one of the bridges was out. But it's over in St. Petersburg, and like it takes some time to go from one to the other. It's actually not in what you call an accessible area. And I know they wanted to build it in Ybor City. If they put the ballpark in Ybor City and they were still drawing this, I'd be with you.
But you know what? Yankee Stadium, Citi Field, they're not easy to get to either, and they fill up.
Yankee Stadium has how many million people around it? I mean, I've done a football game at Yankee Stadium. It wasn't that hard to get to. No offense, it really wasn't that hard
to get to. If you don't live in New York...
It's in the exact same spot that the other one was, and Citi Field is in the exact same spot that the Shea Stadium was.
I get that, but if you don't live right there, if you don't live in any of the five boroughs of New York, it is hard to get to, because either driving there is difficult, or you have to pick a parking garage either in Jersey City or Hoboken or in Manhattan, whatever, and then you have to take a train or a couple trains over there, and you have to take two trains to get to Queens. So it's not easy.
People take the MTA in Boston all the time. There's no parking around Fenway Park.
There you go.
Right? But again, you're not surrounded by water. Okay? Where you've got to take, you know, they're in a bad spot. They're not going to draw anywhere near what New York does or Baltimore does or Boston does, or, you know, they're not going to draw what the Dodgers do. They're not going to do that. But I think it's an exponentially more difficult ask for several reasons. Where the ballpark is on that peninsula, and the fact is there's 1,000 things to do down there and the weather's nice. And, you know, and you can't compare what, you know, New York's got a, you should be able to draw 40,000 to a Yankee game. No offense. The metro area is over 8 million. You can get 40,000 people to the Yankee game.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that.
Out of 8 million. Okay, you should be. Okay, Dodger Stadium. Now, Dodger Stadium's actually in a great spot. It is. Right off the highway, beautiful setting, the whole deal, Dodger Stadium, you know, and a huge population. No getting around it. Tampa and St. Pete doesn't quite have the same population. There's 5,000 things to do. I mean, no offense, the weather's pretty nice down there. It's not bad. I mean, it's an okay sports area. I mean, look, if the Bucks aren't winning, the Bucks aren't drawing either, you know.
I get that, but they have no problem, regardless of how good they are, filling up that arena in for the Lightning.
But where's the arena?
I think is it right down the road from Raymond James?
No.
Okay.
No, the arena is downtown.
Okay.
The arena is downtown and surrounded by restaurants. Right? It's really, the arena's in a great spot. See, that's the difference. The Rays aren't playing downtown. Now, where the Bucks play, look, you need, where the Bucks play, it's a wide open area, and it's like the Yankee spring training complex is right next to Raymond James Stadium. All down that strip. And so, I mean, so parking-wise and so forth, it's right near the highway. It's really nice. Where the Lightning play is downtown, right in the heart of everything. The Rays are out in St. Petersburg. They aren't even close to downtown. They aren't even remotely close to downtown Tampa. Not even close. Believe it or not, they're in a different county. And that's not an exaggeration. They're in a different county. Ooh, Chaz McCormick made a great catch today in the Astros game. And guess what? It was legit. We'll come back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
No, senor! No, senor! No, senor!
Well, you'll have less to explain when you go home tonight.
Actually, she found it hysterical.
Of course she did, because I was on her side and spoke for America. She probably felt like, this is great, somebody has my back.